Owing to its immigration legacy, ethically and culturally, the United States of America is one of the world's most diverse and tolerant nations. The start of many trends and forward-thinking initiatives has also been attributed to the open-minded nation. In the last 100 years, U.S. society has also consciously and compassionately progressed in animal welfare and the preference for the healthier plant-based diet. Supreme Master Ching Hai has on many occasions spoken of the deep spiritual quality of this great nation.
I really respect the Americans, you know, for their force, for their determination, and their hard work spirit. Within 200 years, they built a whole nation, and so vast a nation. I was always touched when I arrived in America. And the Americans were also refugees. They wanted to protect their belief. That is very noble, really. And they came with nothing. Only the brain, only the spirit, only their faithful belief in God. And look at what they have made out of this nation, out of the wildness, of the deep wasteland. And they have built from nothing to make it become the most powerful country on earth. And now, because their seed is spiritual, therefore they always return to spiritual. The first reason, motive for them to settle in this land is spiritual reason. Therefore that seed never died. Yes. And because they are spiritual, therefore they can build their land so strong. Because they have built everything that they need to have a comfortable earthly assistance. Now they are very much for spiritual. That's why a lot of vegetarian houses in America now. Many people are vegetarian. Millions of people.
It is interesting to note that prior to the industrial era that escalated during the 20th century, meat eating in the United States was not at all common before the 1900s. Indeed, most people living in the U.S. before this age ate very little animal flesh and subsisted on a primarily plant-based diet. Today we cordially invite you to join us on an inspiring and informative exploration into the lesser known but venerable history of this great United Nation.
The ways in which people ate says a lot about a society. Vegetarians throughout their history during this time period are involved in utilizing the diet as a way to advocate for greater change within society.
Mr. Adam Sprinson, PhD candidate in the Department of History at Loyola University of Chicago, USA, will be our guide today in the conclusion of a three-part program on our noble lineage. A vegetarian himself, Mr. Sprinson became interested in history of vegetarianism in America when he began his higher studies in university. He quickly realized it is an often neglected cornerstone of 19th century America.
So what were the primary reasons that people actually started embracing a vegetarian diet in the early 19th century?
The first motivator, I would say, was health. So in 1831, there's a large-scale cholera epidemic that wipes out huge populations throughout northern cities, in particular in New York City, Philadelphia, and Boston. By embracing a vegetarian diet, a cleaner, more pure diet, individuals saw significant health benefits, that they weren't eating meat that was largely diseased at the time, that they did not know where it was coming from, how it was being handled, how it was being cared for. So in essence, these early vegetarians were living significantly more healthy lifestyles than the average American. One of the arguments that vegetarians make throughout the 19th century is that certainly at the end of the 19th century, is that a vegetarian diet is most beneficial because it's a primary diet, that you're getting nutrients directly from the plants, mm-hmm. whereas those who are practicing a meat-based diet were actually getting those nutrients from sort of the second degree, that they've mm-hmm. been digested and absorbed by the animals, and then individuals were eating animals and getting these nutrients, but they had been essentially watered down by that point.
With more knowledge into the implications of health from one's diet, vegetarianism also became an expression of fitness and peak physique.
By the end of the 19th century, vegetarianism actually becomes associated with athleticism. There's a growth of bodybuilders that embrace a vegetarian diet, and they flex their muscles as a way to literally show how individuals can succeed thanks to a vegetarian diet. Mm-hmm. So that even in 1905, the University of Chicago's football team trains on a vegetarian diet and has success. They win their conference. One of the most popular bodybuilders at the turn of the 20th century is an individual named Bernard McFadden, and he has a magazine called Physical Culture magazine, in which he advocates partially for vegetarianism as a way to gain greater strength, muscle development, and athleticism. In this magazine, he highlights the athletic accomplishments of vegetarians throughout boxing, running, boating, even baseball, and he goes through and talks about the athletic accomplishments of these vegetarians, and then, of course, notes how they were able to beat non-vegetarians as proof that this diet works.
Mm-hmm. From its first official introduction by the Bible Christian Church in 1817 to its political statements and health emphasis, vegetarianism evolved and expanded in the 19th century. As the mainstream public became more aware of the multitude of benefits that came with plant-based eating, meat alternatives were created that appealed to health and discerning palates.
I think that the change in vegetarian diet actually has a lot to do with the change in perception of vegetarians in the 19th century. So as vegetarians start to embrace these meat substitutes, protose, bromos was another well-known one, nuttose, which was a peanut-based dish. Mm-hmm. As vegetarians expanded their diet into more appealing offerings to society at large, not coincidentally, mm-hmm. at the same time, society started to view vegetarians differently. By the 1880s, the notion of meat substitutes, vegetarian products that can taste possibly like meat, that maybe even have a similar texture, and have the qualities of protein, mm-hmm. become more popular. So J.H. Kellogg, who's a Seventh-day Adventist and involved in the Battle Creek Sanitarium in Michigan, begins building and creating these meat substitutes in his laboratory at the Battle Creek Sanitarium. The most popular amongst them was a dish known as protose, which was essentially a combination of any number of different legumes with nuts and bound together in a tin can sold at about 25 cents for a 10-ounce can. And people would use them as a meat substitute. They would perhaps throw breadcrumbs on it and fry it into a patty, use it maybe as a substitute for crumbled meat. Mm-hmm. These meat substitutes become very popular and help vegetarianism reach a sort of wider audience.
When our noble lineage returns after this brief message, we will find out how the city of Chicago became a hotspot for the vegetarian movement. You are watching Supreme Master Television.
Veganism starts to become a distinct movement in the United States in 1948. Which is when the first vegan organization is founded in the United States.
Welcome back to our noble lineage and our three-part feature on American vegetarianism, tracing a venerable history with Adam Sprinson. Now let's continue our journey through the last part of this chapter of brave pursuance in American history. As the ambitious and hard-working immigrants to the New World settled in and prospered, they sought convenience and comfort. Eateries, including vegetarian restaurants, began opening to cater these needs.
But by the 1890s, we see the first cluster of vegetarian restaurants pop up, first in New York City with the somewhat predictably named Vegetarian Restaurant Number 1. This was a big event for vegetarians that was celebrated in their publications, and the large vegetarian organization in New York at the time held a meeting there to celebrate its opening. Mm-hmm. But then Chicago actually becomes the center of vegetarian restaurants by 1895, and All the way into the opening years of the 20th century, Chicago becomes a hotbed of sort of vegetarian businesses and restaurants for people to get not only a nutritious vegetarian meal, but also a rather cheap vegetarian meal. And this has a mass appeal to both vegetarians and non-vegetarians alike.
As it was and is still one of the most populated metropolitans in the United States, Chicago's rise in vegetarianism in the late 1800s is a symbolic and poignant stance against the meat industry and its early effects on the environment.
Part of the reason that Chicago becomes a center of vegetarian activity by the 1890s is precisely and ironically because it's the center of the meatpacking industry in the United States. So that Chicagoans, even those not living on the south side in Packingtown, are highly affected by the environmental consequences of this large meatpacking industry that leads to a stench that's reported, that people can smell this stench coming from Packingtown all the way in the loop. Mm-hmm. And that there's a real sense that this isn't a good thing, and that's part of the reason that Chicago itself becomes a center of vegetarian activities, because it's opposing sort of Chicago's place as a meat-centric center.
Judging by their successful ventures, early vegetarian businesses also appealed to non-vegetarians.
Name some of the restaurants that existed in Chicago.
One of the more popular ones was a restaurant named the Pure Food Cafe that opened up, I believe, in 1900, remained open in Chicago until the 1920s. This was located in the Loop on Michigan Boulevard, eventually Michigan Avenue, part of the growing business center of Chicago. So these vegetarian cafes and restaurants are an attractive lunch option for individuals working in the city. It's cheap, it's fast, and it's healthy. There are also vegetarian bakeries and grocery stores. There's a bakery called Burhalter's that is very popular, that's located across from today where Second City is in Old Town. So Burhalter's sells olives and whole wheat bread and other vegetarian products. And not only that, but also starts shipping them throughout the United States.
Today, the availability of vegetarian restaurants, meat-free products, recipe books, and the wealth of information on the internet has made adopting the plant-based diet effortless in the United States and elsewhere. Coupled with the reality of our planet's current delicate condition, the plant-based diet is becoming more paramount than ever. Overwhelming is the evidence that directly links animal agriculture to the greatest crisis that has ever faced our planet, climate change. The United States has an ingrained penchant for truth-seeking, and perhaps this is why, throughout its history, there has been a persistent interest in vegetarianism. On all counts, the plant-based diet can only be beneficial to one and all. Built on ideals of freedom and liberty, the spiritual rivers of the United States run deep. As Americans contemplate what is really important in life, their compassionate awakening will be complete. Most of those involved in the writing of this nation's constitution did not eat animals, which perhaps gives us reason to ponder its words with a deeper meaning, to consider what really is meant by "and justice for all."
The ways in which people ate says a lot about a society. Vegetarians throughout their history during this time period are involved in utilizing the diet as a way to advocate for greater change within society. If an individual was healthy, they were able to make better choices. And that if an individual was healthy, that they were able to help somebody else much easier than they were if they were, say, sick or involved in their own sort of problems. And many of those problems, of course, they argued came from the fact that they were eating meat. So the story of vegetarianism during this time period is a story of a dietary choice, but it is also a story of larger political activism. And one of my hopes with my research is that vegetarianism during this time period gets its due for the changes that it did work for in the 19th century. It's part of the story of American history.
For more information about Mr. Adam Spritzen and his Archimedean lever of vegetarian history, recipes, and ephemera, please visit vegetarianhistory.com. thank you, Mr. Adam Sprinson, for preserving this honored cornerstone of United States history with your research and writing. We wish you much success in your studies and endeavors to promote vegetarianism. Respected viewers, we appreciate you joining us today on our noble lineage. Coming up now is Between Master and Disciples here on Supreme Master Television. May your new week be graced with bright aspirations and kind company.
For more details, please see www.suprememastertv.com/NL.